get organised. It's all public comment. Yeah. Okay. Go fast.
The mayor,
how
are you?
Stuff in our
I think we're going to have the union members of the ICIU talk tonight.
I'm watching main news. It's going to be accurate.
Okay. Give you a heads up.
Thank you. I saw that. Thank you.
The Roman sun. No, the Tuscan sun.
I agree. Good evening, everyone.
He does.
The regular meeting of the Pismo Beach City Council for Tuesday, August 2nd, is now in session, and I think we're about right on time. And the first order of business is call to order.
Mayor Reese.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez G.
Here.
Councilmember Rabinow.
Here.
Councilmember Higginbotham.
Here.
Councilmember Natoli.
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item on our agenda is the invocation. And Dr. Paul Jones, would you please give us our invocation? And would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance also?
Will you please stand and bow your hearts with me? Our Heavenly Father, earnest prayer for our nation by our national leaders for centuries has been a normal way of life for American citizens. It was President Franklin Delano Roosevelt who prayed on national radio on D-Day, June 6, 1944, during World War II. The prayer that he prayed is so appropriate for our time, and so I pray it today in part. And quote, Almighty God, our sons, the pride of our nation, have set upon a struggle to preserve our republic, our civilization, our religion, and to set free suffering humanity. These men fight not for the lust of conquest, but to end conquest. These men fight to liberate and to let justice and tolerance and goodwill arise among all men. They yearn for the end of battle, and they yearn that their return to the haven of home. Because the road is long and the desire is great, I ask our people to devote themselves in a continuance of prayer as we rise to each new day. And when the day is spent, let words of prayer be on our lips, invoking your help to our efforts. Let our hearts be stout to wait out the long travail, to bear sorrows that will come, and to impart courage to our sons wherever they may be. O Lord, give us faith in you that nothing shall deter us in our unconquerable purpose. With your blessings, we shall prevail. Lead us to the saving of our country and to a peace that will let all men live in freedom, reaping the just rewards of their earnest toil. It teaches us that good government originates in the heart of God. So today we would invoke God's divine wisdom and God's divine courage to be freely given to each of them so that they shall make good and right decisions. And may each determination that is made bring esteem and righteousness to God. And may each determination that is made bring justice to each citizen and fairness and worth to each guest who visits our beautiful city. We thank you for hearing and for responding to this prayer of invocation. We pray it in the name of our personal Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Will you please place your right hand over your heart and repeat after me? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Now is the time for public comment, and you will have 3 minutes to speak on anything that's not on the agenda, and please be kind to those sitting at the dais. Okay, the first person I have is Bruce Corsa.
honorable council members and mayor. My name is Bruce Corsaw, and I am I am staff with SEIU Local 620. We represent the city general employees. Currently, we have been attempting to negotiate with the city on our successor agreement since March 4th of this year, which expired July 1st of this year. What we are seeking is to negotiate a fair and equitable contract with the city in regards to the following issues. We are seeking a fair salary increase. Recent CPI figures have been ranging approximately 4.2%. Rents, home, and fuel costs have been rising in record numbers. Health costs will rise by 10% this year alone, which will cost each employee 1 to 3.3% of their salary, depending on which plan they are on and depending on their salaries. Currently, executive management gets 100% coverage for employee only and two-party, while we, the lower paid staff, are paying $115 per month for a single employee and $225 a month for two-party per month. We strongly believe our family and our health is just as important as theirs. Based on the current salary offered by the city, we will lose approximately 30% to 100% of the city's proposed salary increase to medical alone. I would note that Pismo Beach is at the bottom when compared to all other cities in the county for employer contribution towards health care. The same can be said for retirement. The majority of the cities and districts have or will have by enhanced retirements by the end of their contract term. Your own police have the best retirement available, but based on the city's proposal, your general employees are not equal to other city or districts or even your own employees. We strongly disagree. We feel we are just as important as those other city employees and your safety employees. We have a serious concern with equity adjustments. We've heard that you are considering up to double-digit inequity adjustments for some of your management positions based on what we feel is a flawed salary study done by Johnson & Associates, which will make some of the management some of the highest paid in the county. While our records show that the majority of the general bargaining unit staff is 4.5% to 16% out of market in this county, what we are requesting is that the council direct their bargaining team to negotiate a fair, equitable contract and to bring their lower paid staff at least to the county market in terms of salary and benefits. Thank you.
Thank you. The next person I have is Elsa Perez.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. My name is Elsa Perez, and I'm here to speak as shop steward for the employees here at the city on behalf of SEIU. I come here with all due respect to you. I know you're in a tough position every time we negotiate. But I felt really compelled to bring an issue that bothers me. I guess it's the salary survey. Our members don't agree with the salary survey, the way it was compiled.
I've worked for this city for over 15 and a half years and have seen many people leave the wastewater field at the plant for higher paying jobs and where housing is more affordable. An article by John Dunn in the June 30th, 2005 Tribune about San Luis Obispo County, he states, a clear problem for the future is that the price of housing is not going to allow for working class people to perform the jobs in our county that need to be done. Anyone who follows the real estate market knows that the future Mr. Dunn talked about is here today and getting worse. I only know of two people in our maintenance division that live in this city, and only because they have very affordable rent they've had for a long term. Thank you.
Thank you. Nathania I wasn't going to try to pronounce your last name, and I apologize. Right. Would you pronounce
Botet.
It for me?
Nathaniel Botet.
Botet.
I'm the lab analyst over at the wastewater department.
Yes, I know that.
Mayor and members of the council, I'm sorry I wasn't prepared to, with anything written, I really wanted to be. I didn't know I was going to speak. But what I wanted to discuss with you is that I'm one of those people who was never pro-union, and it's become, having lived in Panama and in a third world country for quite a while and watching people struggle really hard just to get a job, I always felt really fortunate to have a good job and to have good coworkers in a good paying position. But as a single mother, I've been really fortunate to have low-paying rent, and if that was taken away from me at this point, I wouldn't be able to afford to live here to keep my position. And now that I'm in a different position, I don't receive subsidy, thank God. I'm really glad to be off of it. But that has increased my expenses over $700 a month. So what I'm trying to appeal to today is your integrity with these hardworking, wonderful employees that you have here at the city, and to consider what the other cities have put in place. And I don't have hard numbers for you. Like I say, wasn't prepared. But again, if I had lost my $600 a month in rent, I wouldn't be able to afford to be here. So I hope that you consider that. Thank you.
Thank you. Sean Schur.
Sean Schur, Pismo Beach Chamber. Wanted to talk on the subject of actually Caltrans and SLOCOG and how the city's involved in the new plan, hopefully, that's being submitted on August the 16th to the council. We're having a meeting August the 9th, which is Tuesday, at 8 o'clock at the chamber office. James Worley from the actual SLOCOG will be presenting the alternate plan that has been circulating and come from different avenues from the council, from the business community, from Dennis's team, showing that the hope would be that Hines Bridge would still be continued to be used as an exit, also an auxiliary lane being put in, and the timetables that it would take to actually do this for the city and what it would take as far as closures of exits and on-ramps. So this meeting is on August the 9th. We're just announcing it again so that all of our members will be aware. We're inviting council and staff. It's going to be a great time just to see something that, as a team, we hopefully will be the most advantaged position for our city and for our future, because we're talking about something that should last 20 years by the projected numbers that are being used. So, again, thank you for your time. And
Sean, yes, excuse me, I had a question. Thank you. I was wondering how you knew what date the plans were going to be submitted to this council.
I actually asked Dennis that, and SLOCOG actually was shooting for the 16th. There's been a conversation that it was going to be maybe September, maybe August, but August the 16th was the understanding that we were given, and that's the reason for our urgency to make sure our meeting was in place so we'll be able to give our best opinions towards the council and recommendations for this project.
Well, Sean, I very much appreciate you letting this council know. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sean, where did you say that was? Is that the chamber office?
It's going to be at the chamber office at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock on the 9th. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
AM.
And I don't think we're scheduled to have that on our agenda till September. Am I correct?
We were originally scheduling it for September, anticipating it would take that long for Caltrans and SLOCOG to be ready. We've just found out today, as we've had discussions, that the is part of that project.
So we'll have that in time for their meeting on the 9th?
Yes. SLOCOG, as you may recall, had quite a nice PowerPoint presentation that they made at the coffee meeting with the chamber. They've been working on a revised PowerPoint presentation that will reflect the reduced work scope, which is exactly what the business people downtown had requested. So essentially, Caltrans and SLOCOG have achieved success in reducing the work scope and keeping the Hines ramp open. However, there will be closures during the construction phase, which are unavoidable due to constructing the auxiliary lane on the freeway that will be added to it, and things of that nature. So more detailed information on that is expected by the end of the week from Caltrans, and as soon as that comes in, that information will be.
Okay. Have they projected any time to start? And I know this is not on the agenda, but it's some questions of staff.
I'll have to double-check on that.
Okay.
I believe we're about 2 years away from the start still, but
okay.
I'll get a confirmation on that.
Okay. I'm getting a lot of questions on it, so I thought if you knew, you could tell us.
Madam Mayor and
yes.
Council, if I could, we don't currently have the data, the revised data from Caltrans on the phasing of the project, which was, I know, one of the big concerns. We don't have that. Now, we've received emails yesterday and today that maybe we'll have that from Caltrans by Friday, but we don't have that right now.
Okay.
And so until we have that data, we can't bring it before council. If Caltrans gets that to us by this Friday, then we'll try and bring it before, agendize it and bring it to council on the 16th of this month. But right now we don't have that.
Okay. Thank you.
Madam Mayor, if I may, I had sent you an email a couple of weeks ago on this very type of thing. It's just an awareness that council really needs to have. I wasn't aware of this tonight, and then to have the chamber come forward and tell us, just an email would be great, unless I didn't see it.
I can do that. I send council emails probably about every other day on a variety of items.
You do.
This was to include, as you know, an agenda matrix once a week or twice a week. I send council detailed notes. Last one was 5 pages in length of items that are happening. We were in discussions today with the Chamber of Commerce on this item. Again, I fixed the agenda, and as I just said, we don't have all the data yet, but when we have that data, I will certainly agendize it.
Yeah, no, I wasn't being critical. I was just more of a question. When we reach milestones, and this appears to be a milestone, I'm finished. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We're still in public comment. I apologize for that. Joe Leonard is the next person I have.
Mayor, Council. 25 years ago, approximately, pitch canker infected many of the Monterey pines on the Central Coast. Once infected, the tree dies. Until now, the city of Pismo Beach has chosen to ignore the infected trees in their residential parkways. I have been given notice to remove a dead tree from the parkway in front of my home at my expense. February 4, 2003, the City Council shifted responsibility for the trees to the homeowner, Code Section 12.12. The trees in question have been dead long before 2003 and should have been removed. I expected the city would eventually get around to it. At the beginning of last winter, neighbors observed a city crew cutting one of the trees. City engineering staff says, "We wouldn't do that." Who are you going to believe? After cutting about one half of one of the trees, the project stopped, probably because one of the remaining trees had a red-tailed hawk nest in it. Winter storms caused that tree to eventually break and the nest was lost. The project was never finished. I'm also being required to replace this tree. I have met with engineering several times about this matter. My property has more mature trees on and around it than any other residence in Pismo Heights. I brought photos. By not replacing this tree, an adjacent, rare, mature Portuguese cork oak will benefit from increased light. Engineering staff is unwilling to interpret 12.12 to benefit a resident or a tree. My house is 58 years old, and I have lived in it for 36 years. In this time, I have watched many changes in this city and the city hall. Services for the tourists always increasing, for the resident always decreasing. Thank you. I brought you photographs of the hill, my trees, what the city staff did to some of the trees, and what they've left behind and what is still there. and litter.
Kevin Rice about a water element to our general plan, and then I have subsequently spoken with Randy Bloom, and we have a water master plan which qualifies for that, which is wonderful. And one of the reasons being, many of you know that I study water regularly, and the courts now are really looking favorably upon jurisdictions that, in fact, have this inclusion in their general plan is extremely important. As I've been trying to say now for about 4 years, that water is truly the impetus to anything happening or not happening here on the Central Coast. And water wars have begun, and they're going to become more crucial. They're going to become more difficult, and water is becoming very, very expensive. So people are trying to hold on to what they have, and I believe that this city has taken a very positive step in the way that we manage our water, and quite frankly, the surplus that we have through build-out is a testament to Dennis Delzite and our city with reference to how, in fact, we manage our water. It is extremely important. I also had an opportunity to attend a conference with Mary Ann Reese. I thought it was very interesting. It was leadership. As many of you know, I'm now chairman of the South County Water Board, as well as president of Public Access Television. And it was very enlightening. And I hope I was rather ashamed of myself at the last city council meeting. I didn't handle myself well, but I learned. And hopefully that through this discussion that we had up in Monterey and taking a look at the techniques that are available to us all for true leaders, I will subscribe to that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Does anyone else want to speak during our comment period?
I, too, was up in Monterey. My term as director of the Channel Counties Division expires in October. However, I was unanimously picked for another 2 years to be an at-large director on the board for the league. So that's going to be great for Pismo Beach. It'll be great for our county. And, of course, it's going to be great for me. So I have to report that we had extreme success up there. And the training that they provide all the elected officials, probably the best training in the world. And I have to really compliment the league for doing this for the elected officials. Our big problem that we're facing is the housing, and the league has taken that head on. So we're going to be working diligently with the governor and with the Senate and the House to try to come up with a viable solution. So this is going to be a continuing project for our board of directors, and I will be deeply involved in that. So I just wanted to report that out.
Congratulations, Rudy.
Thank you very much.
I don't have anything, thank you.
Okay. Do you have anything, Mayor Pro Tem?
I do. I just wanted to comment that the full council went to the League of Cities conference in Monterey. We would pass each other rushing back and forth through the hallways. And I think this might have been one of the best conferences I went to. I feel like I'm always careful not to spend your money. And I thought this was very well worth it. I learned a lot about LAFCO. There was a huge session on LAFCO and where the funding comes from and if which cities have strong LAFCO representation, and we do, in fact. There was a huge push for affordable housing through the league. However, my concern was they were going towards taking away local control, and which I wasn't for at all. And then who sets the standards for what is affordable? So there's a lot of questions that need to be answered before Sacramento imposes affordable housing on this community. And then under requests, earlier we, our city manager, Kevin Rice, stated that he sends us emails. I can't express to you how much we appreciate what our city manager does. He always tries to keep us abreast. He's got plenty to do to run the city. He does a wonderful job. He does send us lots of emails. However, he can't possibly know what just came in this morning. And I don't think that we should.
I attended an ethics session, and I also attended a session on mixed use and a session regarding neighborhood groups and making sure that we keep neighborhoods well informed on things that are going to be happening in their area and how important that is to them. The more informed they are, then the more apt they are to participate and help us with our decision-making process. And that's all I have. Did anyone have anything to pull off the consent agenda?
I didn't, Madam Mayor. Okay, if we have nothing to pull off, I'll entertain a motion of approval.
I move for approval.
We have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda.
Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez G.
Yes.
Councilmember Higginbotham?
Yes.
Councilmember Natoli?
Yes.
Councilmember Rabinow?
Yes.
Mayor Reese?
Yes.
Passes 5-0. Thank you.
Okay, the next item on our agenda is public hearings. We usually hold those at 5:30. We will wait till 5:30 because that's when it's advertised for. So we will move on to the next item, which is business item 6A.
Madam Mayor and Council, item 6A is our quarterly report to Council and the citizens on our capital improvement program. Program's major construction projects that we finished up in the previous quarter and what we're working on in the upcoming quarter. And I believe Greg Ray is going to give this briefing to us. Greg?
I'll have to apologize. I wasn't expecting this item to come up just this fast. I'm going to have to run upstairs real quick and grab a piece of paper. And so if I can delay this item just for a few minutes, I'll be right back.
Okay.
My apologies.
Well, let's move on to. Let's see. Would we be ready for the next item, or should we just? You're ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. 6B.
Item. Got a new microphone. Am I on now?
No? That's part of my agenda.
Okay, there we go. There we go. Got it. Okay, got it used to it. This is an item that was requested by Councilman Rabinault, which is consideration of installing synthetic turf on Ventana Drive. We've got quite an extensive landscaped and irrigated area there, and I believe the context of the suggestion was that it would save the city money in water, save water, and also perhaps also save some maintenance costs due to the mowing and the other activities that are associated with turf. Our previous public works superintendent, Rocky Rogers, did coordinate with a local supplier and installer, and I provided the council with a copy of his quotation. The total estimated cost is somewhere in the range of $50,000 to $80,000. He indicated he would give the city a break, but however, he's probably not familiar with public requirements for bidding for projects like this, so it would have to go out to public bid, and there are, of course, some uncertainties whether he would be the low bidder and how he would bid it if it went out to public bid. So anyway, I think we would probably anticipate a somewhere in the range of $50,000 to $80,000 rather than his low estimate of 50. He estimates that the installation would pay for itself in 4 to 5 years, although I should hasten to point out that we did not do an independent calculation to verify the figures. Also, he pointed out several locations of where the turf is installed, and within the city of Pismo Beach, we have an installation at the Pismo Beach Post Office, and I don't know whether you've had an opportunity to look at it or not, but to the casual observer, it just looks like good, healthy green grass. You really have to look close to realize it's grass. So synthetic turf has improved a lot. The technology has improved a lot in the last few years. There are several options for consideration. First of all, this is brought back with the intention of being an informational item. However, the council can take action if you wish to amend the budget to include it in this year's budget. However, as you recall, we did have revenue shortfalls from the state. So that being the case, staff is recommending that consideration be given to deferring a decision to include this in the budget until the next year, two-year budget cycle, which will be about a year and a half from now, and see how the revenue situation is, compare that with other projects that are brought forward for consideration in competition for the general funds. So I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Let's see, I have one right out of the...
That's what it boils down to. How much will we save in water? How much will we save in estimated maintenance costs and so forth? So we can do that.
I think anything we can do to save money in the long run makes sense. So I'd be in favor of seeing it come back in the next budget cycle.
At our next budget cycle.
Mm-hmm. Madam Mayor, may I speak?
Sure.
Better?
Better. It was good for him to go to class with me.
I have a little different take on this, in that that specific project that you're talking about here was to give an example. What I'd like to see, however, though, is that as we're progressing and builders come on board and they're looking at providing new homes or whatever, I'm wondering if maybe any of the city-owned, what do you call those things that are between the gutter and the curb?
Medians. Parkways?
Median.
Median? Is that what it is, the median there? That maybe we might take a look at doing that to try to save the... Because it wouldn't be that expensive. It can certainly be done through the building process, and it can be a requirement that may come about. What I hate to do is wait 2 years before we move forward on anything, and the primary reason for that is, does anybody have a feel for how long that's been at the post office? I mean, it's been years. It's been...
2000, I think.
Yeah, so it's been, 5 years at least up there, and it still looks really, really good. Mm-hmm. And if you take a look, there are some dandelions that come up along the edges of it, and think, but just a little bit of,
Makes it look real.
Yeah, it makes it look real, yeah. But, with Roundup and those types of things, I really believe that in the long run it would be quite a savings. And I'd like to try a little project, but we've got a pretty big project up there at the post office already. So I don't know, does the council feel that maybe we should add that to any of our building requirements? Like I said, it looks real.
Only if the city is required to maintain those. Oftentimes the homeowners have to maintain some of those meetings.
Oh, absolutely they do, but there are some, though, that the city has to maintain,
right.
And I believe that it could really be an enhancement in some areas up on James Way, as an example. There's some areas up there that it would certainly beautify that whole stretch of road up there.
And I do agree that the post office, that artificial turf, it looks great year-round.
It really does.
Stays
absolutely.
Nice and green and
all year round. So anyway, I would just like to see, rather than dropping this for 2 years, I think it's a real opportunity for the city to save some money and certainly save on labor costs and those things that are very near and dear to my heart as a council person and a resident.
So could you tell me once more time what you're trying to propose?
Well, I'm saying if there are some areas that the city is going to be required maintenance in new projects that are coming on board. Let's not tear out grass and put this stuff in, but if there's an area that's new that is being developed, I think that might be an appropriate time for us to do that.
Well, it's hard to make a decision when we don't know what the savings is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was kind of my thought, too.
Well, that I do agree with, but I don't know how we can equate or put a value on that without doing something first.
Well, we have the post office, so.
What?
Madam Mayor and Council, what I could suggest is maybe when we come to what Councilmember Ravenel is suggesting here, the next time we are building something for the city, where it might be appropriate that we give you that analysis at that time.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay. You know, the cost analysis, and then you can make it
perfect.
Make a call.
Great. I will take some time, though, to go to the audience and see if there's anyone that would like to speak to this item. Is there anyone that would like to speak to this item? Seeing none, I'll come back to the council. So the consensus is that we would look at it on some public project in the future.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
All
right.
Let's go. Thank you.
Okay.
Agree.
Thank you very much. Okay, now we'll go back to 6A. We're moving so quickly.
Council's become so efficient, I'm afraid you caught me off guard. I hope that wasn't as embarrassing for you as it was for me. I do have a PowerPoint presentation. And I'll go ahead and see if we can get that up on the screen. And there we go. Good afternoon, Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, and council members. This is our quarterly capital improvement project or capital improvement program update. This update is an opportunity for you and the public to see staff's progress on projects identified in the approved two-year CIP. If you have any questions, some pilot projects on Shell Beach Road to evaluate the effectiveness of some different repair strategies for the ultimate repair of Shell Beach Road in the future. And we expect for construction to begin just after Labor Day.
Madam Mayor, may I ask him a
Certainly.
Question on that? I was speaking with some of the members of the public, and one of them, Henry Myers, is an example. He is familiar with, and I'm not, but he's familiar with these cement slabs because when he put in his parking lot down there, they had a staging area that had this exact kind of situation. And he says what happens is like when a truck comes onto one of these cement slabs, the front wheel gets on it, and then, of course, it lifts the other end of the slab, which breaks any continuity down there. And then as the heavy truck goes over it, and when the rear wheels, then, of course, it lifts up the back of the slab and moves forward and just does that all the way. And that, of course, is what's caused the problem in Shell Beach, on Shell Beach Road. And he was talking to me about these holes that are bored all the way through the cement, and then they have this high pressure. It's kind of like an adhesive, I guess is what it is, but it's a high pressure compound that's forced down and under and around. So you're familiar with that, and that's going to be one of the things we'll look at?
Yes.
There you go.
The method you're describing is you grout the voids underneath the slab.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that might... You know, we're talking about millions of dollars to repair that street, and maybe through these innovative techniques and certainly new systems that have been found to correct them, maybe we'll be able to do something and we'll make it plausible. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ray.
Any other questions? Great. Okay, I'll move on to the Shell Beach Fire Station remodel. You can see in the picture the garage doors at the front of the station, as well as the garage door in the back, has been replaced. These doors allow the fire engines to pass completely through the building so it can be accessed in a sort of a one-way traffic mode. The contractor also installed a drain in the front of the fire station. Apparently, runoff, you can see the drain just barely in the picture there. Runoff was coming right off of Shell Beach Road and running right through the station for quite a long period of time, so that drain's now going to prevent that from happening. And the overall remodel project, BFGC is the architect on that, and we are working with them on that to get that completed here in the near future.
Can we back up a minute? You talked about were you done with that portion?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Miscellaneous overlays and slurries. And you have here, project design contract was awarded to the Wallace Group. Staff presented council with a list of streets proposed for repair and their priorities. Construction is expected to begin in September.
Yes.
Do you happen to have a list of those with you so that the public could see those again?
I might.
Okay, that'd be great. I'm sorry I didn't ask you prior to the meeting to do this. But it would be good if they could review that list again.
No, I apologize. I don't have the list with me. What I'll do is make that available to council if you'd like.
That would be great. And then maybe at just a future meeting we can run over those again so the public will be aware. We still get questions on which ones are on that list. And as a reminder for us, it would be helpful.
Just as a reminder to you, this project is very extensive. Just about more than half the streets in the city are on this project.
On the project.
Boy, I'd be surprised. If your street's not getting touched, it's going to be a miracle. We're really catching a lot of streets, and we're really trying to have a large impact with this project. So
okay.
Should be an exciting one for the city.
Thank you. Maybe next meeting you could just pull that out and report to us on it. That'd
sure.
be great.
I'd be happy to.
Thank you.
The next project is the Cypress Bridge Addy Street Promenade. Art Burke Construction is the contractor, and they have completed the pathway from the beach to the Cypress Street Bridge on Addy Street. There's a new storm drain inlet that was constructed. That's in the picture here. Unfortunately, work on the bridge has been delayed until the nesting swallows are completely gone from that site. Anticipation is that we'll be able to do that work in September.
Madam Mayor, quick question on that.
Certainly.
Does that drain go right into the creek, or does it go into the force main?
Right into the creek.
Right into the creek. Okay, sure.
It's storm drain, so.
Right. I understand that. Right.
Next project is the Harborview Waterline Project. If council recalls, this project includes street reconstruction and a new water line. The project design is, and the cost of maintaining and reconstructing that wet well made it more appealing to move the lift station across the street over to where the new development is there, the new commercial development. But it'll be fenced. You won't even be able to tell what it is.
Okay, that's what I wondered. It'll be fenced. There's no way to keep those underground at all. Probably not. It's a lift station.
The majority of what you see on a lift station is really electrical. The real lift station itself is underground. The pumps are in the ground. The wet well's in the ground. All the sewer is underground. But you have to have the electrical and the chemical feed, if there is that kind of thing, above ground.
Why I'm asking, because that's one of the things they talked about at the league meeting this past week, was that we should require cable companies to underground their boxes. And so I'm wondering, if this is the same situation, why they couldn't be underground. They
no,
can't.
No, considerably different. These are large switching devices where they operate the pumps and cycle the pumps back and forth so that the pumps have a long design life. You have to be able to walk right into these things.
Madam Mayor, may I ask a question?
Thank you. Certainly.
I was wondering, now that's city property that we're abandoning there and moving it across the street? Or is that a Caltrans easement?
The majority of it is city property.
The reason that I was asking that, is there any way that we could provide, fill in that well that you're talking about there, and provide that to the restaurant for additional parking?
I think that it was mentioned to staff at one point, but I think there's part of it shared with PG&E, is it not?
I'm not sure about the details of all who shares the site, but it is really small. And in the
It
is really small. You're seeing most of the site in that picture.
Okay,
and
well,
access
right.
to it's pretty tough, but it's something we could look into.
I'm
probably not prepared to give you an answer on that tonight.
Oh, wouldn't even provide a parking place then?
Yeah, maybe two cars.
Oh, okay.
it's right. pretty small.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Any more questions?
Yes, I have one. So when this is moved across the street, will it be housed in like the rest of the lift station, something much more attractive?
The components will probably they'll look better than this. The generator will be permanent on site instead of, as you see on a trailer here.
Uh-huh.
The electrical boxes will be a little bit nicer looking, and they'll be walk-in boxes.
Okay.
These are walk-up boxes.
Okay.
Actually be able to stand inside of them, get out of the rain. There'll be a fan in there to keep the humidity down for the switches. But the site itself will be completely surrounded by a fence The fence will have the colored slats in it so you can't see through it, and there'll be landscaping around the outside of that so it'll be soft and look nice and blend in with the surrounding area.
Yeah, the key is the landscaping.
It's going to look great. We're going to really do a nice job.
The slats is not beautiful, but okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Chumash Park is the next project. Council requested that staff get moving on a new project to pave the parking lot at Chumash Park. We went ahead and did preliminary design in-house, and the Wallace Group, who's doing the design on the Slurry Seal, Shelby Trove, James Way project, drafted that for us. That's being included with the Slurry Seal project.
In September.
We'll do it all at once, and so Labor Day, we'll start paving on the park up there.
That's great. Thank you.
Yeah, Madam Mayor, could I just ask him one other question? I've really studied this stuff, and I went down there to Chumash Park. And we get very timely updates from our city manager with reference to the mosquito abatement and everything, which that is part of that. But that all that standing water down there, it smells. There's all kinds of refuse that blows down in there. It's dirty. It's ugly. And there's nothing that we can do about that because it's a habitat of some form? Or?
Well, I think there's probably more issues in the habitat. I mean, it is habitat. It's become a wetland, so
yeah,
our access to it's probably fairly restricted. But beyond that, that is a detention basin. If you look at the elevation of that versus the elevation of where it drains to, which is across the freeway below
right.
Cocos there, I believe.
Cocos, right. Uh-huh.
There's not a big elevation drop there, so it's a very slow draining area to begin with. Couple that with the issue of the beaver damming up the culvert in there. All those issues together, we're going to have some water in there.
Yes? So. Do you remember that, Tom?
I remember that.
All right, sorry to bring that up.
I remember that well.
Open the old wounds there.
And I meant every word of it.
Any other
Thank
questions?
You. Go ahead. We have a little humor, a little levity.
Next project is iRelease Park. We have a 90% design plans on that. We are reviewing down the road where the 8-inch curb stopped, and it goes back to the short 4-inch curb that's there existing.
Is that on the agenda for to make that bigger, too, along
it,
the
it
way?
It is not.
It is not. Should we be doing that?
Well, I think it would be nice to take a wait-and-see approach. We think that we're going to catch the majority of the runoff in this new inlet. So, we just need to see how it's going to work. And with this in place, with a couple rains under our belt, we might be able to determine what the best solution to the remainder is at the least cost. So, rather than just guess and, kind of throw a lot of money at, I think it would be better if we could take a wait-and-see approach.
Okay, thank you.
Next project is a Highland Park fence. Again, I'm happy to report that the project is complete.
Nice.
Rockwood General Contractors was a new contractor we've never worked with before, but they did a great job. The fence is powder-coated aluminum. It's going to last forever. It's a real good fence. It won't rust. It's going to look nice for a long time. The powder coating doesn't fade like the paint did on the previous fence. They also repainted and repaired some of the handrails in the park. And if you recall back, the city was sort of left with this fence and some of the park issues because the development in this area went bankrupt. And so we were never allowed to properly accept the public improvements of the park. Well, as a result of this fence being completed and the work we did on the playground and the park benches and the barbecue pits in the area, we basically completed the obligation of the city to accept the public improvements. And the park is essentially done from a construction standpoint. The only thing left now is the maintenance of the landscape. And as you recall, the city has recently taken over the contract on that, so the park's looking a lot better.
Madam Mayor, I had a question on this.
Yes, Mayor Pro Tem, go ahead. I just wanted to compliment. This is a great project. What an improvement.
This was the question I had was the company. You mentioned the company that you worked with, Mr. Ray. What was it?
Rockwood General Contractors.
Oh, because they did a beautiful job. Are they local?
Let's see. They're out of, I think They're out of Santa Maria, if I recall.
That's fairly local. They did a beautiful job. It really looks nice.
They're kind of new to the whole public works, you know, project business, and they're real excited about doing additional city projects. So they tried real hard, and they were great to work with.
You could see they took pride in their work.
Yeah. Next project is the police station emergency generator. Doesn't look like much in the picture there, but the generator is on site. It has an actual housing that's going to go over it, and that housing is being modified slightly to adapt it for the switching that will be done. But the generator's on site. There's an electrical contractor who's been hired to wire the police station. And now there's a sort of a new project as a result of grant funding that's been made available to the fire department. It looks like we're going to be able to also hook the fire department on Bellow Street there up to the same generator, so we'll have backup power to both
that's
buildings.
Great.
Yeah, it's a great project, and it'll help pay for part of this project, the part that benefits them directly.
Thank you. That's great.
The sewer trestle bridge repair project, that was on the consent agenda this evening. Mm-hmm. Went pretty swiftly, caught me off guard. But that was approved tonight, so design's going to begin on repair of the sewer trestles. And there's basically four of them. They're all in pretty bad shape, so we're going to get right on that and get that out to construction as quickly as possible. Next project is the Wilmar Stairs. Staff is reviewing proposals for design on the Wilmar Stair project. We haven't selected a design consultant, so I don't have a schedule for you yet, but that project's in process. Pier Avenue Stairs. That project is complete. It was completed just before the 4th of July. That included a completely new lower section of stairs here. There's a pointer. That's all completely new stainless steel. We're moving to a really nice stainless steel stairway structures with wooden steps, highly maintainable, real good design life on these, and they look great. Also, we've replaced a couple of the landings up here. So this stairway should have a nice new life and a new
what
look to it.
What an improvement. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it looks fantastic. What a great beach, too.
Yes, I noticed. Great shot.
Next project is the traffic signal override system. This is a project you're not going to see a whole lot of, probably never even get to see it work, but there's a little tiny device sitting up there that you can't even see in these pictures. It's so small, and it will receive a signal from emergency vehicles and give them priority in switching the signals. Normally it's just on a rotating basis, but as they approach a signal, they...
Thank you. We just received that report. Thank you very much. It's great. Okay. The next item on our agenda is the public hearing. It's on item 5A, and I will have the staff present that item initially.
Madam Mayor and Council, item 5A is a resolution of the City Council of the City of Pismo Beach upholding a Planning Commission action denying a coastal development permit and architectural review permit for a project. I'd like to ask Randy Bloom, our Community Development Director, to introduce the specific parts of this item, please.
Thank you. Tonight...
Just one second. Sure. I'm just going to remind the audience that if you plan on speaking, it would be good if you turned in a slip. So I'll have your name and address on a slip and see to it that the clerk gets that. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Go ahead, Randy. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Let me see if I can get the overhead.
Okay, we're ready.
Okay, thank you. Tonight is a public hearing for appeal of a Planning Commission decision
for denial of a second dwelling unit located at 107 Naomi. The issues relating to this appeal are as follows. The Planning Commission reviewed this item on February 22nd and April 26th. At that time, the Planning Commission denied the request for a second dwelling unit without prejudice. And what that means is the Planning Commission basically asking the applicant to redesign and if they wish to come back to the Planning Commission. The issue relates to, first off, is that the 1983 zoning ordinance identifies that lots with slopes of over 20% is to go to the Planning Commission for a public hearing. The applicant has, in their appeal, identified that their estimation of the slope is 19.8% and should never have gone to the Planning Commission. Their measurement of the slope takes the extremity edge here and takes it over to this part. Now, the 1983 zoning ordinance identifies a simple rise and run relationship to slope. Staff has always taken the median, the center point of a lot, and then the center measured this simple rise to run. And in staff's measurement, this relates to a 23.3% slope, and therefore staff was made the determination that this item go to the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission heard this item two times. The first time the Planning Commission reviewed it and questioned and had staff review the slope issues and come back at that point. Staff reviewed the 1998 zoning ordinance requirements of how you determine slope, and in the 98 zoning ordinance, it defines slope as a calculation of the various elevations and the length of it, and it's more of a determining factor of slope. And if you would measure it under the 1998 zoning ordinance, you'd come up with a 28.7% slope. The crux of the issue where the Planning Commission looked at, and there's a lot of history in this in the staff report. It pertains to previous lot splits that were denied and other issues. But the basic crux of it boils down to General Plan Policy LUE-1, and I'll read it. Concept, the St. Andrews Tract planning area shall be retained as a residential neighborhood with low and high density residential uses. The focus is on conserving the existing housing stock and assuring that the home additions and replacements are compatible with the scale and character of the existing development. The Planning Commission looked at this policy, and because of the design, to walk through the design, there's an existing house that faces Naomi, that single story. The house, the lot dramatically rises up to Colburn, and the applicant proposes the second dwelling unit to come off Colburn and perch above the existing house, not compatible because it was perched above the residential neighborhood and felt that that was out of character with the intent of the general plan policy. That's in a nutshell and kind of to the point of what the issue is and how the Planning Commission voted. There's a lot of information, back information. There's a lot of pictures. We tried to present all the petitions and all the letters that were provided to the commission in the council's staff report. And that's kind of a summary of this issue tonight. And it's a public hearing. What I would ask the council, if they have any questions, I'll try to answer them and open the public hearing and take testimony.
Okay. I'm seeing a question from the council staff before.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. Two questions, and this is just for public benefit. What was the vote of the Planning Commission?
It was unanimous.
Okay, unanimous. And is there any credence to the calculation of 19.8%? based upon 1983 or the 1998 general plan?
As I stated, is that the how we... I wish I could get...
They hit the red one.
Oh. There you go. We take a minimum center point in the back of the lot and a center point in the front, And that gives you an averaging slope of a lot. This takes the extreme and takes the both extremes of the lot to get the longest run to give you a lower slope.
Yeah. Okay, that's so then based upon...
The 83, the 98, it still would have had to go to the Planning Commission under the past practice.
Okay. That's all I have, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
Okay, I had one question, and it related to the same thing. So how did their calculation differ? Only from that one point, then? Is that what you're telling me, from the point?
Well, if you take a look at the lot, if you take the run, which is a longer distance, and you let's say you're saying this is the same height, you'll come up with a lower slope going this way than you would to the center of the lot,
and
because it's a longer distance.
And historically, going through the center of the lot is how it's always been measured?
We've always looked at the center of the lot because that's kind of like an averaging of the
entire
one side. Not all our lots are just square. Mm-hmm. And so we've done always an averaging down through the center of the lot.
And is that accepted, Madam Mayor?
I wasn't done.
Oh, you might.
So then taking the calculation from the side of the lot, that slope is different than the entire lot. And by the calculation being from the center of the lot,
there's a shorter run distance from the center of the lot, which gives you a higher slope percentage.
And an overall average of
yes.
the lot. Okay. Okay, and that was one question. And then the other one was... how our ordinance read regarding the slope?
The 1983 ordinance identifies that it's a rise and run relationship. The elevation, let's say a right triangle, the bottom run and the height, it's a relationship to that. The 98 zoning ordinance takes into consideration the length of every contour on a 2 foot and calculates all that and gives you more of a realistic shaping, average overall shaping. It's a better, closer calculation of what a slope really is. And so the Planning Commission looked at the 98 because it's more of a realistic approach. But the 83 ordinance is a simple rise-to-run relationship taken through the center of the lot is still over the 20%.
Okay. All right.
Either way you calculate it.
So which either way, which required it to go before the Planning Commission because of that.
Right.
Okay.
Was
there any other questions from any of the council,
they asked
the staff?
The questions I wanted.
Okay. Is there any other questions?
Okay. Well, just one, if I may, Madam Mayor. And that is accepted practice by your industry.
Yes.
That's how things are measured. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's all I needed. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. So now is an opportunity for the appellant to present your appeal.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and Council. I would like to just begin this hearing by saying we should not be having a hearing. And to that effect, I would like somebody to stand now who actually knows about slope. May I please present an expert?
This is your opportunity. Please do so.
Thank you.
My name is Leonard Langer. I'm a licensed land surveyor, and I'm the one that wrote the letter that's in your staff report with a 19.8. And that is a great way of determining the average slope of a planning area. So that if you have, like in the county, I don't know whether the city has it, but that's where I use it frequently is in the county. We have certain lot sizes, densities that are based on slope, and so we can get this average slope of a large area, and then we know that we can get 10 lots or 2 lots or something out of the site. So it's used for that. The most important thing about this slope, this particular site, is that it's not a natural slope. It's been graded. It's got a house on it. It's been excavated. It's got a road behind it that's had fill put down the back. Where this proposed house is going, it's a graded slope. It's a steep slope, but it's a nice uniform slope. And so if we use the contour method just as an example of what happens when you start changing a site, you could take a flat site and use the contour method and get a zero slope. But you could go in there and grade it, cut a hole, and you might get a 30% slope or a 10% slope. So by grading, you can change. And let's see. So anyway, my calculation was using the two sides. Natural slope. I can tell you that site can easily be developed. As a surveyor, I go out and I set up for foundations and where houses are going to go and for grading and so on. And I've seen a lot of houses put on lots that are steeper than that with pylons and grade beams between them where they are caissons where they dig down. And there's very little site disturbance on those. I mean, you can control it. You can have as much site disturbance as you want. And you've got lots up at the top of Pismo Heights. In fact, I've got one. I worked on a project that's halfway up Pismo Heights. It was very steep. And we built, the owner put in caissons in order to construct his driveway and then caissons to put his house. So this site can easily be developed the way that she wants to develop it without doing any site disturbance or very minimal site disturbance, if that's an issue.
Okay, thank you.
Any questions?
Yes, I do, Madam Mayor. I have one question. The property in the Heights that you said that there was caissons, are they visible?
No, a caisson is a hole that you dig in the ground.
Okay, but the pillars, that would be like pillars,
they
is that what it
be,
is?
They could be visible. You've got one over here on Spyglass. It's on a flat lot where the guy, but it's next to the cliff. Uh-huh. And he built his house, his foundation, on caissons in case the cliff recedes.
Okay, so
let's go back. Those would be visible.
Let's go back to the one on the Heights. Is it visible?
I don't believe they are.
Okay.
I'm always standing on the site looking at it, and so it's hard to see up. But when I drive along Price Canyon Road and look back, I don't think that I've noticed the caissons.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay. Madam Mayor.
You have a question?
The only thing that I'm concerned about, and I'll direct this question to Randy Bloom, is that this could be a precedent-setting move which concerns me. If we have denied other projects because of the way that we, in fact, determine the method of determining the slope, if we have denied other projects, then the likelihood of those people coming back to the city and saying, well, I don't like the way that you determine slope in denying this, I now want to use my way of determining slope.
Councilman Ravenel, this is the appellant's time to present her case, and I'd like for her to have an opportunity to do that. Her time is ticking. I'm going to give her a little bit of extra time.
Oh.
And then if you want to make those comments after her presentation. Thank you.
Okay.
You did? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I continue on with my appeal, but I beseech you to follow the facts here. You've just been told by an expert that the city was in error in their calculation of how he determined the slope. Accepting this information without my surveyor here, you too would be led to believe that some extraordinary measure has been taken to make the slope be less than it actually is. I talked today to the planning department. They are under a very grave misconception also of how this occurred. Scott Graham. And I said, Scott Graham, how do you determine slope? And this has been decided elsewhere. It was decided by the state of California. It's not your job to decide. It's not your doing. And also by those who drew up your ordinance. There is nothing in the ordinance against anything that I am proposing here. Do you wish to continue, even though you've been given accurate information that this should not be before you?
Okay.
Well, at this point, I think that the staff has interpreted it as being 20% or more, which requires a hearing according to our rules. Now, I'd have to defer to the city attorney for some advice here.
Well, Madam Mayor, under Government Code Section 65852.2, a city can adopt a second unit ordinance that has certain standards in them, one of which is architectural review. That's precisely what we have on certain projects. Ms. Langford's correct that the state has imposed certain requirements for secondary units that they be approved ministerially, provided they meet the standards in the ordinance. This one did not meet the standards in the ordinance. That's why it went for review before the Planning Commission. So it's properly before you under both our ordinance and under the housing provisions of the government code.
But I think the point here is that there is a difference in how the slope was measured. And I think that then it's that we have to look at whether we're going to accept that the staff's method that has been used as the measurement for the slope.
Well, was it calculated in two different ways? The staff calculated in two different ways, didn't they? Taking the middle point of the lot. Isn't that what I understood?
We're going to go back and forth here for a moment. Bear with us, because we're trying to make a good determination.
Let Randy answer that.
So could you answer that, Randy?
We measured it through the center of the lot because of the configuration of the lot, and that's historically how we've measured those. And the applicant simply disagrees with it.
Okay. So that's how our city...
Madam Mayor, may I...
I'd like to listen to the city attorney first.
Madam Mayor, I just wanted to also chime in that cities, when an ordinance is challenged in court, cities are given the first crack at interpreting their own ordinances. It's known as an administrative interpretation of a law. It's given great weight by the courts. The fact that someone outside the city disagrees with a particular interpretation of an ordinance would be considered by the court, but the administrative interpretation, particularly a long-standing administrative interpretation like we have here, would be given great weight by a court.
Okay. So with that, I think that we could say that we're going to continue with this hearing based on our own interpretation of the code and our way of measuring. Did you want to add something?
Well, no, because I don't want to take away any more of her time, but I think what's important, I mean, we can continue. I mean, Arlene has asked questions, and I think that's taken away from her time as well.
It has, and I told her to bear with us.
Because it's the precedent. I want to get back to my earlier statement on that. I think that it's important. I don't know that we should allow, as a city, somebody to provide their own interpretation that differs with the method that we have used historically. And that's what concerns me. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. That's all I wanted to say.
I see your point. Okay, we will continue with the hearing. We've made that. We have a consensus that we will continue. And we will give you some extra time because we keep taking it away from you.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
I appeal the Planning Commission's denial of my application for a coastal development permit and architectural review permit for the construction of a 1,196 square foot secondary unit on my property, which is zoned single family R1 in the St. Andrews planning area, and on the following grounds. I now divert from my lawyer's appeal that he wrote, and he apologizes he can't be here. His mother is in grave shape, not expected to live, so he had to be with her. But I am given his appeal wording here that I would like to be entered into the record. And at this point, I'd like to digress. I've owned this property for almost 20 years. For the last 15 years, I've been jumping through hoops to build my retirement home up there. I am now 65. I don't know how high I can jump, folks. But I want to live there. And I believe I have every right under to come up with your secondary dwelling unit regulations, which are also included in this document, your ordinance that you wrote, that you are bound by after the state law carrying more precedent, more weight, and the little handout that I was led to believe was exactly how it is, called "So You Want to Build a Second Unit," and I have that here too. I want to just read one or two lines. It says in the introduction, it says secondary dwelling unit on the same property, it will be allowed to owners without going through public hearing process, and that the state law requires all jurisdictions to allow secondary units by right in residential zones, and that the city can impose some reasonable restrictions on such units, but must approve them ministerially if they meet the standards. I have a copy here of the standards. I meet every one of these standards. Everything is checked on these standards. Zoning, minimum lot area, maximum second unit size, height, setbacks, parking, occupancy, utility service, plumbing fixtures, impact fees, separate ownership. Everything on this was checked when I did my application. Everything. I met all the standards. The city has gone into the mode of persisting that I am subject to Section 17.069.020.5, criteria and standards of the municipal code, which I will provide to you, and that section has to do with slopes in excess of 20% shall be reviewed, notice reviewed, by the Community Development Department and Planning Commission. There is nothing in there about a hearing. It says reviewed. And even if you didn't have the evidence before you by an expert, which you may or may not choose to take over your staff, whose statements about how they measure slope in the same day are completely different, and the error that you see here in interpretation of a land surveyor's report because of the lack of understanding of how to measure slope. Not only that, the Planning Commission found, above all of any other thing when I went before them, was that the city could not satisfactorily explain to those good commissioners how slope is determined in the city. No policy was mentioned at that meeting. None of this right down the middle line over what was mentioned. In fact, there was a considerable time spent, someone trying to figure it out and being unable to do so. I would like to now leave that be and tell you the merits of my project without waiving my objections to the process, as I've been discussing here. On February the 22nd, staff recommended approval of my secondary unit and wanted me to have a coastal development permit, an architectural review permit. The planning commissioners refused to let my lawyer read what that report said. And I think it does need to be read. I don't think people really realize what that first report said. It said, the project improvements comply with the public access and public recreation policies of Chapter 3, et cetera. The construction of the secondary dwelling is appropriate in size. One of the planning commissioners didn't like the size. He wanted it to be 600 square feet. The architectural and general appearance of the construction of my proposed unit is in keeping with the character of the neighborhood. Now, this neighborhood did not change between the first recommendation and the second recommendation. And it's up to you to choose which of these opinions of your planning staff is true, the first one or the second one. I'll continue to read the first one. The architectural and general appearance of the construction is in character with the neighborhood. The proposed new residence is compatible with the visual quality and character of the surrounding area and is compatible with the immediate neighborhood. The construction of this secondary unit is consistent with the general plan, local coastal plan, and general plan use plan category of the multifamily residential area. It is compatible with the nearby existing uses and not detrimental to the health, safety, morals, comfort, and general welfare of persons residing or working in the surrounding area of the proposed project. Perceived to have applied ever to my property, and now that was considered a moot issue. So now what do? They don't have that slope issue, so now they go for something completely different. In a 100% turnaround, they find something new. It opines in a subjective manner, influenced by neighbors' objection, and you'll hear plenty of those here today, because they don't want a secondary unit in their area. That was decided by California. You don't have to decide that one. So in this public hearing, it came up that my project is not compatible in scale and character with the existing neighborhood. Well, contrary to the staff's arbitrary opinion, it is, in fact, consistent with the general city's general plan, local coastal planning, zoning code development standards, including GPLCP policy LUE1, which was drug out at the last minute to try to justify this complete turnaround. This section of the general plan is merely a policy and a concept. Government Code 65860 prescribes that the city's zoning ordinance must be consistent with the general plan. So nothing they would drag up about St. Andrews Drag could possibly be inconsistent with the decision upon which they rested the favorable recommendation to approve my project. And there's a legal reference here that you have in your file that upholds that. My project complies with all of the provisions of the zoning code development standards, including my recently submitted revised plan, which this is not. And nothing in your packet is either. And I would like to submit to you a revised plan that has been ignored as much as my surveyor's report by this city.
Was the revised plan the one that you brought to the Planning Commission or this one?
I have a receipt by the City of Pismo Beach sticker where I brought all of you, everybody copies, as I was instructed to do so, April 27, 2005. This was received by the city and has not been,
it doesn't show anything. That is the one that was presented to the Planning Commission. That's what I'm trying to establish. The one that you have in your hand.
No, Mayor, Your Honor.
This is not the one that was denied?
No, this is not the one that was, it's hard to say. I'm not sure. I don't know. I get approved and denied back and forth, so it's hard for me to keep track of what they're doing. Are they approving or denying? But this, in fact, let me just go on.
During the hearing,
yes,
during the discussion, was it this one that was being discussed or the one you have in your, that you just held up?
This one. This one here.
Okay, so you're appealing this one, not a revised one. Because the revised one was not presented to the Planning Commission. That's my point.
Okay, I see your point exactly. Okay. A point well taken. All I'm saying, really, is that we have taken care of some of the things that seem to still be lingering here without any acknowledgement. And those things are the zoning code requirements that had to do with the setbacks.
Okay.
You have the old setbacks there. With this newer plan that was received by the city, there are no unfinished requirements of the city. The setbacks have been corrected according to what the city wanted and required.
I'm trying to give you as much time as I can, and we're moving along fairly slowly. And I want to make sure that you get your points across to us that you want us to consider.
Excellent.
And I guess my concern is if there is a revised plan that you want to submit that might be approved by the Planning Commission, you need to kind of go back through the process.
Okay. Okay. I would just say that, let me let my lawyer say it, please. Moreover, even if I were required to go beyond my compliance with the zoning code requirements, which are presumed to be consistent with the general plan, my project is indeed compatible in scale with the existing neighborhood, as reflected in the record herein, as well as pictures and maps attached here, too. Oh, actually, it's up here, including my recently submitted plan. So my project complies with all of the provisions of the zoning code development standards, including my recently submitted revised plan. Compliance with the conditions of approval as to the side yard setback requirements. I would just like my lawyer to speak to that issue the way he has.
Mm-hmm. We saw it. Okay.
Now, what is inconsistent about the heights of these structures? Mine is 139-foot elevation as determined by licensed surveyor Leonard Linger. A house nearby is at 143, 4.4 feet higher. Another house nearby is at 136. The orientation was brought up. These houses look down on the property that is at 126 from various orientations, just as mine will have a various orientation. If there's an objection to the orientation of these properties, it should be for the house at 126, who is 5 feet from my property for the entire length of the house, which is on the largest lot in the St. Andrews tract. How can he now complain that my house is poorly oriented? As you can see from these figures and from the elevations on this photograph, where these elevations have been superimposed, you cannot see this secondary dwelling from Naomi. And as far as perching, what's perching above, if you could see it, would be a 145-plus-foot apartment building that's invisible. And even in this picture, you can't see the very high elevated perched apartments east of 101. Perching, looming, seems to be the characteristic of this neighborhood. And my house does not only need to comply with the view from these neighbors on Naomi, but also for people who use Coburn Lane. Coburn Lane has a frontage, and my house that's on that frontage, coming up only 10 feet from the street. Any lower, it would be a dugout and would not fit in with the neighborhood. Those apartments are our neighborhood, too. People drive that street. That's our neighborhood, too. It should look good from up there. So, in closing, I'd like to, for the record, just state what I feel does not even apply here. There's been all this stuff about vacation rentals. Do people not know that there are regulations concerning vacation rentals that neither the primary nor the secondary residence can be used for that purpose? And the design meets the requirements of the city. It's a modest 1,200 square foot house. Two bedrooms, two bathrooms. Where's the large in that? My lot is almost twice the size of any other lot in the St. Andrews tract and has almost twice the frontage on Coburn. It is big enough to split into two legal-sized lots, each with 5,000 square feet each. Density is not an issue. Even if you would like for it to be an issue, the state forbids it to be an issue. The design meets the requirements of the city, and they were extremely helpful in coming up with the design. I had Michael Groover work with me. It was wonderful to get his ideas, and we made this a beautiful home. He does not object to this design. He has a piece of himself into it to make it as good as it is. And I have a builder, I have a designer who is here to answer any questions you might have, Mr. Richard Oliphant, who would be chagrined to take some of the suggestions that have been made here, put it on top of my house, therefore precluding that house, my primary house, from ever being a second-story house, as is enjoyed by 50% of the neighborhood, to have a two-story primary house. But I would be prevented from that if I put it on top of the existing house. Where would it go then? How about in my green belt and remove from St. Andrew's Tract the only green living things that there are for blocks by slapping the second unit on top of my green belt and my beautiful trees? I don't think so. The design meets the height requirements of the city. The height of this unit is lower than that required by the city. You have a 35-foot a face, zoning code. Any of your structures can have a 35-foot face. That's your zoning ordinance. If it could even be seen, which it is not. Slope is not an issue because that was ruled out. Slope that applied to the hillside ordinance was misused against.
5 minute break.
I don't think this is an opportune time. Can you wait?
Well, there's going to be a lot of public time.
I've been asked for us to take a break. I'm going to ask that we take a break quickly, come back to the dais, and not go out to the audience. And I apologize for this, but we need a 5 minute break. Okay? We'll reconvene at